Hey everyone, this is Josh from Solopreneur Grind, and I am here with Karina from Koi Compositions. Karina, really appreciate you coming on the show today.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Awesome. So Karina, pretty niche guest, I would say. You do something really cool that we haven't had a guest on who does exactly what you do yet, so I'm pretty excited. Can you tell the listeners a bit about yourself and how you got started in doing what you do?
Sure. I am a composer. I've been in music for a really long time, and I own my own business, Koi Compositions, writing music for podcasts and video games. I also do audio branding for small businesses, and teach piano lessons, teach composition, just do basically anything I can with music, and it's really fun. I started taking piano lessons almost 30 years ago and got my bachelor's in piano performance. I've been composing for about 12 years now and really love helping people tell their story. And podcasts are a place for people to tell their story, and video games do the same thing, just in a more immersive way. And so that's what I started doing.
Very cool. Very interesting. Well, I definitely want to get into how it relates to podcasting, because selfishly I have my own podcast, but I'd love to know kind of how you got started. So you said you have an undergrad degree, and obviously in piano and that kind of related stuff. What happened after your undergrad?
After my undergrad, I was a professional concert pianist for about a year and a half. And that was really fun. I loved it. But I had a shoulder injury, and so decided to stop doing that, though I still play piano and I still love it, but I don't do it professionally anymore. And always kind of composed things just for me because I had fun doing it. But my story isn't the only story to tell, and so I started trying to get into video game music, which is really hard to get into, but I was having fun trying to push in there. Just meeting tons of people, and I kept meeting people who were like, oh, I have a podcast. I'm like, oh, yeah, that's cool. And then I just brush it off. But that kept coming up so often. I was like, you know what? Podcasts need music. I should just talk to these people about doing podcast music. And so just started talking to people, word of mouth. I joined a bunch of Facebook groups about podcasting so I could learn about what people needed, what their difficulties and struggles were, so that I could learn how to answer those struggles in the medium that I'm able to provide. And I still do video game stuff too, still working on getting in there. I've done some indie games that are really fun, but yeah, so just I do a bit of both now.
Right. Very cool. Sometimes it's funny, you know, sometimes people struggle to find a product or a service to start on with their business. And sometimes they just kind of knock on your door, which seems like is what happened in your case. So were you, after you finished being a professional pianist, did you go right into kind of just your own gig right out of there and started to try to break into the video game industry? Or were you working a full-time job? Or what was the situation like?
I did a lot of things. I taught piano lessons, still teach piano lessons, really love doing that. I don't have as large of a studio as I used to, just because I choose not to, to make time for other things. I did work full-time for a while. I have been married for almost 8 years, and we have 3 kids, and so throughout all of this, it's been just a balancing act of how much can I do while being a parent.
Right.
And so there were full-time jobs in there to support us. There's been more piano lessons, less piano lessons, more composing, less composing, depending on what I'm available to do and what our needs as a family are. But I really love having that flexibility and being able to do music. Excuse me. Through all of it. I've had my business for almost a year and a half now, composing music. And so it was a while before I actually started that part of my life out.
Right. And yeah, that's another, I guess, kind of misconception is that, you necessarily have to jump in full time, or entrepreneurship even has to be a full time job, whether you're a parent or you have another full time job. Mm-hmm. You know, it can be a side hustle for a long, I mean, forever, right? If you want, you have other responsibilities and, or another income or anything like that. Very cool. So you were having conversations with people, you heard podcasts come up again and again. Once that kind of clicked in your head, what were some of the first steps that you took to kind of really get into it?
First steps that I took were joining Facebook groups, so I could meet people who were doing it, so that I could hear what they were doing, what they needed, what they wanted. And then I just started reaching out to people saying, hey, I want to learn how to write music for podcasts. Can I write free music for you so that I can learn what that process would be like? And of course, free music, yeah.
Right.
And so did some practice there, and I was happy that they liked me enough that they started referring people to me. Hey, you need music for your podcast. Go talk to this girl. And so that's how I was able to start making money from it. And then, yeah, it's still very word of mouth range of a business, right, which I enjoy. It's slower that way. I still go out there and I still try to find people actively, but, it's nice to be able to work with the people who want it, if that makes sense. The people who are actively wanting to connect with people more on their podcast, because music has an amazing power to connect people, right, to each other, to connect us to ourselves, to connect us to our emotions. And so when you have music that is original and matches the story and message that you want to share with your audience, then it creates a greater connection right from the start, like right from the moment that they push play. Mm-hmm. And so when people really, really want that and are able to get it, and budget is always, you know, finances are always a thing, but when they're able to get that, besides just going to Fiverr or 99centmusic.com or whatever, those aren't going to be as original, and those are going to sound like your Facebook ad, or, you know, it's going to be music that they've heard before, and it's not going to connect to your message. So being able to be there for the people who need that connection and want it for them and for their listeners to share their message, then I'm happy to be there for it.
Right. And yeah, it sounds like you had a really great approach. I don't know if you meant to do it that way or not, but I mean, the first thing you did was go out and learn about your customer base, right? You know, mm-hmm. What do they want? How do they want it? How are other people doing it? And, you know, and just offering the services for free a few times to build up those testimonials and start some referrals coming in.
Very just a practice too, because I was like, I've never done this before. I mean, I've written music before, but not for a podcast. So I need to know what the process is like, you know, so that now when people come to me, I can say, here's the process, and make it so much easier for them. So I was really grateful for those first few people who allowed me to learn from them, even if it was, you know, it took a little longer, it was more of a struggle. But it's also important to learn what people's frustrations are. What frustrates you most about the music that you have, or that you can't find, or that you want, but you don't know where it is? Or, you know, there's some people who are like, I don't know anything about music, and so it just terrifies me, so I just don't put music on my podcast.
Right.
Like, okay, well, I can make it not scary, and you're missing out not having original music for your podcast. Like, people need that, so.
Right. Can you talk to that a little bit more? Because I find that really interesting, because, I mean, obviously, I'm a podcast host, and I don't have intro music for my podcast. I don't have intro anything for my podcast. So, and part of that is intentional. And so I'm interested to hear kind of your explanation. And I'm very interested. I mean, I know they work because I listen to tons of podcasts myself, mm-hmm. and all the big ones have, you know, intros with music, et cetera, et cetera. But the reason why, at least for now, at the beginning, I mean, relatively speaking, this podcast is fairly new. This will be episode number 24, which, I mean, not totally new. We're, you know, I'm proud of where it's at, but in, you know, relative to some of the big ones, it's definitely on the newer side.
Yeah.
The reason why I didn't use it to start is number one, relatively new. I was like, well, I want to make sure I actually like doing this and it's going to continue. And I've reached that yeah. point. But the second reason is because when I listen to podcasts personally, I skip through the intros. So I want to go right to where they start talking and I can start learning. And that might just be me. But so my thinking was to start this one was just like, well, I always skip that stuff, so I'm not going to make my listeners listen to it. So I'd love to hear what you think about that. And I mean, I know music it's an amazing art form, and I'm sure there are some really cool benefits, and it, you know, definitely does connect people. But I'd love to hear a little bit more from someone. Keep in mind, I don't have an artsy bone in my body, so it might just be the fact that I don't have that same appreciation.
Okay, yeah, no, that's totally fine. The first thing is that understanding that we all start somewhere and we all go somewhere. And I just love that part of our earthly journey, that everyone is starting somewhere different and everyone's going somewhere different. So there's so many different approaches to things. But that also, if you start it one way, that doesn't mean that it has to stay that way forever, right? You grow, you develop, you adapt. And business is no different. Business can grow and adapt and change. Just because you do it one way doesn't mean it has to stay that way forever. So there's some people who say, I don't have music, so I guess I'll just keep it that way. It's like, no, if you want music, you can definitely add that. And if you want to change your music later, it's just like a logo. You can rebrand. You can explore different avenues. I think that when it comes to the benefits of having music to introduce your message, if we think about all of the ways that music is used commercially in our world today, it's not very different from what you would be doing with your podcast. Like if I sing ba-da-ba-ba-ba, you know, we already know that we're talking about McDonald's, right? If we're, you know, you know, I'm at the movies and I can't wait to watch this movie, right? Those little tunes allow us to create a connection with what to expect and what to feel.
Right. And it's like an extension of the brand, basically.
Yes,
right?
Yeah. Exactly. And it allows us to recognize, oh, this is, you know, this is Josh. I get to hear him talk about these awesome things. And, you know, and it kind of prepares you mentally, even without you realizing it. You know, like at the movie theater, those introductions before the movie starts helps you like kind of settle down, like you kind of relax in your chair a little bit more and the anticipation's there and you're just excited. It doesn't matter what kind of movie it is, that's the feeling you get. And so being able to have music before your podcast, another thing is that our brains are amazing and our brains interpret our emotions through artistic forms, right? If we think about language, which the written word is wonderful and I love it, but we don't know how to describe our emotions very well. Our language just doesn't allow it because the logical part of our brain doesn't put words to those emotions. We have names for them, like love, but if you say, what does love feel like? That's why we have poetry, and that's why we have music, and that's why we have art, because our brains just don't know how to say that. And so our brain is able to translate emotion from music in under 3 seconds. Hmm. Science hasn't been able to pin it exactly down yet, but we know that it is faster. Music translates emotion to our brain faster than any other medium other than really traumatic pictures of war or things like that, which most people are not using for branding.
Right.
So having that just extra connection to your audience, extra here's what to expect, extra get ready for what you're about to have, feel this with me, can really help. Now, for the people who skip through those intros, that's definitely a personal preference. It happens a lot. There's music in so many things, like mobile games. I'm a composer and I mute the music on my mobile phone when I'm playing a game, right? Like,
right.
Because that's not a medium that I want to have music on. I listen to them just because I'm always curious for my own profession. Like, what did they do for this? Oh, that's what they did. Cool. Mute. And then I keep playing.
Right. So
there will always be that, you know, possibility. But if you're making it short and engaging and meaningful to your audience, I find a lot of intros to podcasts can like go on and on and on. And thank you to our sponsor. And thank you to this. And here's some announcements. Right. And that's not what people are coming to you for. Not that those things are bad. There's a time and place for them. And it really depends on what you want your podcast to be, if you have that or not. Right.
Mm-hmm.
But if you make it short and meaningful, right, an intro can be just 10 seconds. Welcome to this podcast. Today, we're going to be talking about, right? But having that with music already does something extra for all the people listening to you. Does that make sense?
Yeah. No, it makes complete sense. So what about if you were talking to someone like me who maybe reached out or you reached out to them and they were interested but had no idea kind of where to start? And maybe they're interested in working with someone like you or even just what the options are.
Yeah.
What would you tell them in terms of like first steps as a podcast host?
Okay. The first thing that I always tell people that I'm working with is to decide which emotion you want your audience to feel as soon as they push play. What do you want them to feel when they listen to you talk? Right? So it, you know, 2 to 3 emotions tops. And then I tell them, you know, make sure that you boil it down to its most simple form. Because a lot of people are like, oh, well, I want them to feel happy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay, is it, are well,
do you a lot want of versions feel, of happy.
Right. Do you want them to feel happy like they just got a present? Happy like they're seeing a family member they haven't seen in a long time? Happy like they're eating their favorite food? You know? There's lots of things like that. So, or fun, right? That's another big one that I get. I want them to feel like they're having fun. It's like, well, do you want fun as in playing games with family? Do you want it to be fun as in a tickle fight? Fun as in trying new experiences, right? There's so many different things to do that with. So if you're able to simplify those emotions to their purest form, you know, I want them to feel like they're coming home.
Mm-hmm.
That is a very descriptive, simple emotion that can be translated into music. I want them to feel empowered. I want them to feel entertained, right? There's really wonderful emotions that everyone feels that we can help them through music to connect with immediately and kind of prepare them for the theme of your show. So if you are able to think about the top 2 to 3 emotions that you want your audience to feel, the next thing after figuring out what emotions you want, then I go and I write 2 or 3 short sketches, anywhere from 10 to 30 seconds long, of things that I think based on our conversation together and what you want out of the podcast intro and things like that, of what I think translates and creates that emotion. And I do it always in piano because I think it's easier for us to listen to something, to a piano playing, and imagine other instruments playing it as opposed to listening to a guitar or a flute or a cello or whatever other instrument. It's hard to think of anything other than a cello or a guitar in that situation. So I do just piano for the sketch. And then you pick which one fits best to the emotions that you want.
Right. You know? And what about the words? Like, is this being paired with a message that someone would be saying, you would be saying, I would be saying, something like that?
That's totally up to each person. Each client is very different. I've never had to record words for it. I would be willing to if they wanted me to. But that's never been something that I've been asked to do as part of it. It can be again, like, welcome to this podcast. So whatever the name of the podcast is, right?
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes people put an introduction. I am Karina Pardis and I am the host of this podcast, you know, or whatever it is. Other people just like having 10 seconds of music before they start talking.
Right.
But what I do is I just create the music, and after the sketch and you pick, then we talk about the instruments you want, and then I refine it, and then I give you the finished version, you know, according to the parameters that we discussed about at the very beginning. And
gotcha.
Then you can take that and you can edit it however you want. It's your music. You own it now. And you can put your message on top. You can change that message weekly if you wanted to. You know, you have the music file to put in your podcast however you want.
Gotcha.
And I usually do a short intro and then a slightly longer outro music version so that you have more music to work with if you needed it for any reason at the end, with special thanks or credit goes to or whatever.
Right.
Right. That's the basic process. It's really not that difficult.
Yeah, I was going to say it sounds a little more straightforward than I expected. Obviously, there's a lot that goes into it behind the scenes, I'm sure, in you preparing those few samples at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
But what is your experience in terms of, do a lot of hosts have difficulty coming up with those kind of more narrow 2 to 3 emotions?
Maybe at first, but I tell them to think about that, and then we have, I do a free consultation call that's usually around 15 minutes long, and during that time is when I say, okay, what exactly do you need? What are the parameters of the project? And then we talk about their emotions so that I can understand why they want that emotion, because the intention behind it is also very important for me to be able to match that to the music that they will have. And sometimes they give me more of a broad emotion. It's like, okay, well, what kind of scenario does this apply to? Why is that important to you? And just through a few questions, and there, I've never had someone who's been like, I don't know.
Right.
Yeah, at first, that's their initial reaction. I don't know. Maybe this. It's like, well, that's a really great answer. Let's explore that a little bit more.
Right.
But just through a conversation and just a couple of questions, and usually we get down to exactly what it is that they are wanting. And most of the time, whatever you are podcasting about is something that is important to you.
Mm-hmm.
It is usually related to your core values. So those emotions are also going to relate to your core values and what you believe is most important. And
right.
So it's usually pretty easy to connect that.
Gotcha. Yeah, that makes sense. You mentioned a few other things. You mentioned Fiverr and some other options.
Uh-huh.
Let's say there's someone, and I know those obviously aren't going to yield the best results, but I'm just thinking someone who might be brand new to podcasting. Maybe they don't want to shell out much money to get some intro. Maybe that, you know, they really want intro music but don't want to shell out too much money. What would you recommend, or are there any resources you would recommend to kind of, you know, maybe like a makeshift one to hold them over until things get serious?
Sure. So one that is very popular is 99centmusic.com, because it's 99 cents, right? You pay like $1.50
or
something like that. However, with that, you need to be aware there are hundreds of thousands of tracks on that site, and more coming in every day, and it's a lot of music, and you are going to waste so much time playing through track after track after track, even though they're not that long of tracks, but just trying to sort through it all and figure out which one comes close enough. Because that's the thing. With those, you're only going to get kind of good enough, which
right.
is good enough, right? Because it's your message. You don't want to sell it short. But I do know people who sludge through that, and it is a huge time waster, and it's extremely exhausting, I think. But you will find, you know, there's definitely something on there that you could buy for super cheap that might kind of match what you want, and it would be, you know, something. But Facebook ads and things like that tend to use that music also. So you run the risk of having your podcast sound like an advertisement, or to sound like something that they've already heard before. It's not original. It doesn't match what you're saying. And it can turn people off from your podcast. Does that make sense?
Right. Yeah.
Just as much as the good, like good music that matches what you do can help bring people into it, bad music that doesn't match what you do can have the opposite effect. Sure. So there's that. Fiverr can be good. It's cheaper. Not as cheap as 99centmusic.com, obviously, but usually they don't give you as many options as what I give. You kind of just say, this is what I want, and they give you something, and that's what you get. There's not a lot of editing through that process. There's not a lot of, like, with me, you get the final say of what you want and what sounds good. Even if it's like, I just don't like, you know, that drum hit at this second mark, right? Oh, yeah, I can totally change that. You know, make it exactly what you want, because it's your podcast. You should be happy with it, the way it sounds in every avenue of that. So with Fiverr, it can be, I've heard people that really love what they got from it and people that really did not. It was kind of hit and miss. But those are really the only ones that I've heard people have success with. There's not a whole lot of other things, but but honestly, like, if you're worried about it costing a ton, I can help you with that. You know, we can talk about it, and maybe I just give you a little less than what you would want later, and it can go towards what you do later, right? I mean, I am here to help you tell your story. And so I want to work with you as much as I can. So don't think that it's going to be thousands of dollars, right? That's, video game music is a lot more expensive because you're writing over, you know, 200 minutes of music, you know, sometimes 200 hours of music, depending on the game. So that's why it gets expensive. But with podcast music, you need a minute and a half or less of music. Right.
Could you give a range of, like, what, so let's say the average, I mean, I'm sure it's a range and it obviously varies by client, but just to give me and some listeners an idea, let's say we wanted to work with someone like you, we want to, you know, invest a little bit more than some of those cheaper options.
Sure.
And, you know, we wanted a, you know, whatever, short 10 to 20 second intro. And then I think you said usually a little longer outro. Uh-huh. Any, even just a range of, like, what that might cost?
Yeah. For one instrument, for one single instrument, it could be any instrument, it doesn't matter which one, right? Piano, guitar, whatever. If for one instrument, the baseline price is $150. And then if, you know, the flip side of that, if you wanted a full orchestra, then that is over 250 tracks of music put into your piece. So that's going to be a lot more expensive, right? And it's not necessarily adding one instrument adds this much money to it. It's kind of a range of the complexity, how many more instruments you want. And I go through the ensemble options with you to say, if you wanted, you know, these instruments, it'd be about this much. So, but that's the base price for just one instrument. And then if you came back and said, I really like it and I really want to add more instruments to it, then it's like, okay, cool. I can cut you a deal because you've already paid me the base price. Right.
Right.
So, that is what you do.
That's I mean, it seems very reasonable, especially because, like you said, usually people doing podcasting, I mean, myself included, it's something I'm passionate about, and it's, you know, you really want to create that value and connection for your listeners. Something like $150, especially for the time I'd be saving, or anyone would be saving.
Oh yeah.
I mean, it could be worth it just in that alone. That's great to hear. Karina, I want to talk just a little bit more before we wrap things up about the business side of things. So you said you started, the way you kind of got started was doing a little bit of free work and then kind of built it from there in terms of referrals and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Do you have a few other pieces of advice to people who might be starting a similar type, you know, service type business, and they're struggling to get clients, or they're about to start trying to get clients? Kind of what would be your tips to them?
Sure. Probably my number one tip would be, do a little of what you do every day. Even if you don't have a client, you will never go wrong in improving your craft. and improving what you do. And right. we do that through experience. We do that by learning and trying new things and making mistakes and then learning how to fix them. And mistakes happen and you have to learn how to fix them even when you're working with clients, but it's better if you do that on your own so that you already have an answer for your clients. But that doesn't mean that you should wait to get clients until you have all the answers, because you're not going to. I watched my mom growing up. She owned her own business and she did visual arts, and anything you wanted painted inside your house, she could paint your walls like anything that you wanted, right? Be it a texture or a mural or, you know, whatever you want, right? That's what she did. And I watched her have meetings with potential clients and say, could you do this to my wall? Do you know how to do this? And at the beginning of her business, she would say, yeah, I can totally do that. It'll be, you know, about a week and a half for me to get you a sample board, and I'll paint it on a sample board, and then I'll bring it to you to make sure that that's what you want before I put it on your wall, kind of like me with my sketches. And then she would come home, and, you know, this was before the internet was widely, you know, the massive knowledge that we have now. She would go to the library and research what they asked her to do, because she had no idea how to do that.
Right.
And she would research it, and then she would get sample boards, and she, you know, which is just plywood that she painted on, and she would practice for a week and a half, do it again until she thought it looked really good. And then she would take that sample board to the client and be like, is this what you wanted? And they're like, yes, that's what I wanted. And then she would do it on their wall, because she had already learned how to do it, right? So learning what you're doing and continually practicing with or without clients is, I think, one of the best things that you could ever do for you and your business. And it might be few and far between. Clients might be few and far between, but don't get discouraged, because what you're doing matters. And it makes a difference to the people who find you and who need you and need what you can do. Other things that you can do while you're waiting for clients is find other people in your field and collaborate with them. Ask them if they need help on their projects, because they probably do, or they're willing to teach you. Say, hey, I notice in your work you're really good at this. Can you show me how you do that? Or talk to me about how you learned how to do that good. Or give me your favorite resources. You know, emailing them or Facebook messaging these people that are in your same field, they might not answer because they're really busy. But if you have a reason for contacting them, most of the time, in my experience anyways, and these are, okay, I have to tell you, some of these people that I email and Facebook message are like, huge composers, like Panka Kuniva. This is a good example. Panka Kuniva is an amazing composer. She has composed for many films, like Hollywood films and AAA games, and just, she's phenomenal, right? Mm-hmm. And I emailed her because she is a mom in this business, and that is really hard for me. And I, at the time, was getting a lot of people in my field telling me that I couldn't do this because I had little kids. And I didn't want to believe that. I was like, no, you just don't know what you're talking about. But I needed advice from someone who had lived that. And I knew that she was a mom. And so I emailed her and I said, hey, you know, I'm a composer. 1 second blurb about me. 1 second blurb about, you know, two sentences about what I admire about her. And then my question. Right? Super short. You keep it short because they're busy. And like 5 days later, she responded to me and I was gushing, right? I was like, oh my gosh, Becca could even email me. Fangirling about it. But it was really wonderful of her to just, you know, short response. Hey, don't give up. It's totally possible with kids. It's hard, but you can do it. And here's some things that I did. And that meant the world to me. So look for the people in your field that you admire. Don't be afraid to reach out to them and just keep practicing what you do. And even if it's not right when you want them, the clients will come because you're working for it and you're improving what they need your help with. So just, you know, just don't stop.
You're right. Those are great. Those are two really good pieces of advice that I actually don't hear often, because I like to ask that question a lot. And I do notice a lot of themes, and especially your first answer, makes so much sense, and I haven't really heard it before. And just great answer. Karina, really appreciate you coming on. This has been a great chat, very eye-opening, especially as a podcast host, and hearing about your story is very cool. Where can people find out more about you or get in touch if they want to continue the conversation?
Yeah, Facebook is probably the most, you know, widely available. So facebook.com/koicompositions. So my business, Koi, C-O-Y, Compositions. That's my business. You can find me on all the social networks. That way, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube. You can look up some of my music on YouTube. Most of my YouTube music is for video games, but still, it's really fun to listen to. And on YouTube, I also have a video series called Creative Tips. If you want, you know, ways to help you become more creative or things to try to kind of get that edge. And that'll be starting up again in April. But yeah, facebook.com, you can private message me. Even if you're not interested in music or you just have questions and you're like, I don't understand this, please contact me. I'd love to be a resource to help you out. And then another place that, I would really appreciate if you guys would check out, I have a Patreon. And for those of you who don't know, Patreon is kind of like a continual Kickstarter campaign for artists that support me in being able to run my business. My patrons help pay for my website that I'm going to be getting this year, and they've helped me get to, I get to go to a game developers conference in San Francisco next week. It's a really huge deal for me. And so my patrons really help me out a lot. And that is at Patreon, patreon.com/koicompositions, and you can pledge whatever you want, and you get free music that you can download every month for that, and it's really fun. I really like making music for my patrons, but those would be probably the main areas that you could find me.
Okay, great, and we'll definitely provide links to those in the description below or on whatever medium you're listening to this on. Karina, really appreciate it again. Thanks for coming on. And we'll definitely be in touch as I continue to consider intro music for the Solopreneur Grind podcast.
Yes, please. Let me know.
Awesome.
Ask questions. We'll talk.
Sounds good. Thanks again, Karina.
Yes, thank you.
Hey everyone, Josh checking in just one more time. Wanted to say thanks a lot for listening to the episode. Hope you got a lot of value out of it. And I wanted to see if you're interested in joining my email list. The link will be in the description of whatever podcast platform you're listening to this episode on, whether it be iTunes or Google Play or whatever. And what I do is I send out 3 emails a week, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, usually in the morning. And they're pretty short, usually around 300-400 words. And what I'm doing is sharing some extra thoughts, insights, ideas, struggles, lessons I've learned, because I am running my own service business too. And I love to share my thoughts, opinions, and just want to add some more value right to your inbox every week. So if you're interested, take a look at the sign up link in the podcast description on whatever you're listening this to on. And I hope to see you there. And I hope you enjoyed the episode. Take care.